Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It's not raining. It's not snowing. The sun is shining. Welcome to the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, how are you doing today?
I am excellent because it is also not frigid. You forgot one.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Wasn't it terrible this last couple of weeks? I thought we left Illinois and came home to Tulsa and brought the cold with us. Had to pray that down.
And we thank you. Well, no, I love hearing when we got back. Oh, it was warm the whole time you were gone. Thank you.
I know. So it was cold where we were and cold where we returned. But isn't God good? Because you're right, the sun is shining. It is a beautiful Thursday here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I get the privilege every Thursday of talking to my family on Blog Talk Radio. So let me say today, hello, family, and God bless you. I'm so glad that we are talking today. So now, Ashley, what's been up in your world? Because I know you have stuff going on. So what has been up in your world?
My world, Dr. Price, is Kingdom Embassy University mostly, besides our ministerial and life advisement clients, building classes and courses. Right now, Prophet Adia and I are working on the Leadership Talents course that will be online very soon. And that is going to be so good and juicy. I'm excited myself.
I am too. But you know what else is time for us to talk about, Ashley? We are in March. And in April, we have one of my favorite events coming up. Do you remember what that is?
Oh, yes. The Executive Apostleship Training Retreat, EATER.
Yes, EATER. And we had our first one in September. It was magnificent. And so now we have a couple of years, only two, so we haven't been talking about it. And I thought, I need to talk about this because I want you to know that it is coming up in April. And when it does, you'll get a chance to join me if you are an apostle, if you are a marketplace apostle, church apostle, if you're an apostolic leader or a prophetic leader. That is who I'm inviting. Again, if you'll remember from September, that the numbers were small on purpose. This is a closed chambers session. It is not recorded. It is not marketed. You will not be able to get it unless you are here to get it. It is very private, very exclusive, because it's meant to give you tips and powers and abilities that only you can do something with. There are venues, you know, our Tulsa Prophetic Forum, which is been going on for years. We've hosted it here in Tulsa for years. We've got our Apostolic Summit, same thing, hosted here in Tulsa for years, but not the Executive Retreats, an entirely different venue in a very secluded and cozy place where you and God deal on a different level. You know, Ashley, many people don't realize that the Lord Jesus is more than a pastor. You know, the way it's been given, isn't that powerful? Because the way it's been given to us today, he's a pastor. He's the great shepherd of the flock. Many people do not know that Jesus, as the Son of God and the Son of Man, the promised King David, the eternal King David, if you will, David's descendant, that Jesus Christ fills all roles, and that he has ministers that he has appointed to fill all roles. And I mean all kinds of roles, not just the roles that we understand, you know. And so many people don't realize that if you are not called to be a pastor, then you need to meet Jesus another way, because you need to tap into his other offices, because this man fills every office in all the church and in all the world. And because we have become so comfortable with him as the great shepherd of the flock, we only know Jesus as the pastor or the savior. you know, the man who got on the cross and died an agonizing, humiliating death to get us into eternal life. But there are other roles that Jesus filled or other offices that he discharged before the church and that he discharges as a result of the church. Case in point, many people do not know that Jesus Christ discharged the office of, because there's a lot of earthly offices and heavenly offices. We need to distinguish those. That's a whole other thing. But that he discharged the office of the apostle and prophet before there was a church. So that is why it's important to have retreats like the one that I am sponsoring here in Tulsa in April, to let you who are not called to the local church or to work with local congregations get equipped for what it is that God called you to do. You know God called you, and nobody seems to hear that God called you but you and God. You can't get anybody to understand you. Some of you can't get anybody to train you. Others can't get anyone to make sense of what God is saying to you. All of that is what we address in private, in a closed, very safe environment here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I call it the Apostolic Executive Retreat because I want you to know that here we don't just deal with Jesus, the shepherd in the church. We deal with Jesus, the king of the world, the God of glory, the great apostle, the great prophet. You know, we deal with him as the bishop of our souls. We deal with him as the king of kings, the God of gods, the Lord of all, and on and on. And because there are different ways to view the Lord Jesus if you're not called to be in the local assembly. If you're called into the world, there is a kingdom consciousness about Jesus Christ that you must have to succeed. Otherwise, you'll keep trying to do church in the marketplace and not do well at either. Or you'll be trying to do marketplace in the church. And the pastors are not going to want to do that because that is not why they exist. And so I want to invite all of you, take it, just be on the lookout because information is coming out shortly. Typically, Ashley starts around this time with this kind of a leeway to give you information on this event. But you need to know that if you are called to do more than work in a local church, if you are called to the marketplace, then yours is a kingdom assignment. And so you'll find out a lot more about that, how to think, how to feel, how to market, how to penetrate the marketplace, how to even birth the ideas and the visions. Because, see, in church, you're birthing the vision for the church. In the marketplace or in kingdom assignments, you're birthing the vision the king has for your ministry. And that's two different kinds of things. So I want you to mark your calendars and start working on getting here. Press your way. No more than 25 people. Never take any more than 25. And 25 is a max. Because really, my ideal is 20, 18 to 20 people. We want, because we dig in. We spend a lot of time together for a three-day period of time digging in, strategizing, planning, training, teaching, etc. And I certainly want those of you with that high call, because it is an approved registration, an approved attendance. So those of you with that high call, and you need to learn how to build that thing, how to strategize, how to make happen what God gave you to do, then I'm inviting you personally to consider applying to come. And I use those terms. I know sometimes people get upset about that, but, you know, there are a lot of things that we say across the pulpit that should have never come across. There are a lot of things that we say in public venues, conferences, and conventions because we don't understand the sensitivity or the complexity of what we are given, and we say it in a public forum or public venue that doesn't help us. So I want to make sure that what is released, what we give, is delivered to those who can do something with it, who, first of all, have a place for it. You know, Jesus said to his followers, he said, well, why is it you can't hear what I'm saying? Because my word has no place in you. You know, there are things that people hear and they run to and fro to get fresh revelation or new knowledge, but there's no place in it. When you hear people criticize something new and you know that it's of God, you need to recognize that God has to create a place in their spirit, a place in your heart, a place in your soul, and then your mind for what he's saying. So many people are having a difficult time transitioning to the next thing that God has because they have not created a place or allowed God to carve that place in them for the next thing he's doing. So we just stay around this little cyclical thing. Well, this is how we've done it, and this is how we've done it, and this is how we've done it. You know, we're going to come into an era where the apostles and prophets are going to be sought out like crazy. Why? Because from the time that God assigned the first forerunners and trailblazers to reinstitute this thing, he has been carving a place in the psyche and souls of his people so that we are no longer just going to have evangelical Christians. We are going to move into an era where we have evangelical Christians, where we have apostolic Christians, and where we have prophetic Christians. You see, because it's important that you recognize that each member of the fivefold has their designated group or assignment. I wouldn't use a better word than that even. That every member of the fivefold has their attachment of Christians to carry out and keep that office running and functioning. And trust me, there is a difference between an evangelical Christian and an apostolic Christian. There is a difference between a congregational Christian and a prophetic Christian. There is a difference between a teaching, or we could call it teaching, we could call it didactic, we can call it academic, whatever you want, Christian and the others. And it's important that you know a lot of you Christians are uncomfortable in your churches, not because your pastors are wrong. Your pastors are doing their job. That's why they have a church. So they must be doing their job. You may not be there, or you may have had to begin there and need to migrate to your group. You know, we talk about apostles and prophets finding their tribe, but you know Christians need to, because you cannot be nurtured by every office. It just doesn't happen that way. We might like to. It seems nice. Well, I'll just get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But truly, you know, if you've walked with God more than 7 or 8 years, you know what office mushrooms you, and you know what office stagnates you. You have enough experience with Christ, and you have a long enough experience in his congregations to know what office blossoms you and which one tends to constrain you. The office that mushrooms you, where you get the richest revelations from God, where you get the most heightened prayer experiences, where you hear God more clearly, or you envision him more vividly than ever, that is the office that's assigned to you. That is the type of Christian you are. And where we're stuck today is that we're all trying to be a one-type Christian, cookie-cutter Christian, and that's impossible. It is an impossibility that if you're a prophetic Christian that you're going to get along and mushroom in an evangelical church. It's just not going to happen. Now, you'll subdue a lot. You'll turn off a lot. You'll turn off a lot of your private devotions. Matter of fact, you'll probably run home and have these rich devotions in the closet and then either try to hide them. Most times you hide them because you don't want to explain them to your group because they're already telling you that's not God. And so you are, and you're stuck. You go to church and you have, you know, you do your duty to God. You love your pastor. You love your church. You might even work in some sort of ministry in your church. But the bottom line is you are not with the right fivefolder, and that is why you are not growing. You need to find out what fivefold office God assigned your Christian spirit to. Your new creation man has a designated officer. You need to find out who that is. And once you do, you'll stop wondering why you don't know who you are and why you can't figure out who you are. And, oh, my God, why I can't hear him, or they don't hear me, or why is it that the things God say to me nobody says? Now, this is talking about credible things that we know are in the scripture and of classic God. Now, but I'm telling you, many of you all are frustrated because you're with the wrong fivefold officer. And because you have done that, see, because how God started before is not how he's doing it now. God is starting to specialize again, and he's starting to specialize again because he needs to blanket the earth with various layered ministries and ministrations from his body. So he's specializing. So if you are a prophetic Christian and you're in an evangelical church, you're dying on a vine. Now, you don't want to tell anybody you're dying on a vine, but you are, because everything that God is saying, you're never going to get reinforcement. You're never going to get affirmation. You certainly aren't going to get any instruction. So when you're in the church and your pastor says something like, if a prophet stands up here and prophesies, they're immediately out, and that cuts your heart, then you need to know you need to be going with that prophet. Likewise, if you're an apostolic Christian and you are in the wrong church, I'm telling you, everything is going to skeeve you. You're going to be irritated all the time. Your soul is just going to be scratch. Why? Because the things that you know make for who God called you to be and how God nurtures you are not going to show up where you spend the lion's share of your spiritual time and where you give the largest part of your spiritual attention and your kingdom attention. So you might need to find out if you belong to an apostolic church. And instead of letting everybody tell you there's only one kind of church, come on, guys, where did we get this from? How did we come down to the church being brought down to just two branches of an entire institution? Who does that? The reason that you went, I went to a prophetic church and it was small and it didn't grow and they were crazy. No. You went to that church and you know why it was small and crazy? Because those other two fingers are still clawing at it. It's your job to prove that what God set up as the full complement of the kingdom and the ecclesia of the Almighty is full and stocked and balanced, etc. Because I'm telling you, you can ignore me, but you're going to leave this planet completely unfulfilled. You're going to spend the rest of your natural days in this planet being a good member, a good congregant, and an unsatisfied, unfulfilled Christian. Because many of you are great congregants, and you are frustrated Christians. And you're frustrated because you are with the wrong five-folder. You know, and God had to show me that. He said, well, why do you think I said I gave some apostles, I gave some prophets, I gave some evangelists, pastors and teachers? Why do you think I said that? Because I built some apostolic Christians, and then I built some prophetic Christians, and I built some evangelical Christians, and some pastoral Christians, and some teaching Christians. Some of you all, your souls are so famished, you can't even pray any longer. You don't want to read the Bible. I'm bored with it. It's just not doing anything for me. You've fallen out of church. You've dropped out. You're mad with the leadership. You're mad with the Christian. You're mad with all of that because that thing, that your particular genetic strain of the Godhead needs that office to grow. There are kids who need to go to science schools. There are kids who need to go to music schools. There are kids who need to go to literary schools. You know, there are kids that need to go to technical schools and on and on. And you know what? As natural parents, we have no problem with that. We will send our children to the right school as much as it's in our ability to do so. But we will not do that for ourselves and our family and our church. It drives me nuts when I hear people say, well, I want to go to this church because it makes my kid happy. It's your job to make your kid happy. It is not the church's job to make your kid happy. It's your job to nurture your child, not the church. Your church school is not a babysitting club. And God holds you accountable for what he gave you as well as what he gave your child. When I read my Bible, you know, this is going to make me an endeared apostle for real sure, but y'all going to love me anyhow. But I read my Bible. I do not see any rewards given for having your children in the right school and church. What I do see rewards given is for you fulfilling the reason God saved you and called you into his kingdom. I do not see any familial rewards in Scripture for eternity. Why? Because God is going after capturing souls from darkness. Now, should you pick a good school for your, a good church school for your children? Yes, but that's secondary. Primary is whether or not you're going to fulfill the reason you're on the planet in the appropriate time. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're an apostolic Christian, you gave birth to some apostolic kids. If you're a prophetic Christian, you gave birth to some prophetic kids. If you're an evangelical Christian, likewise, the same thing for the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Your children, just like they carry your natural, come on here, your natural proclivities and inclinations, they also carry your spiritual one because God does things in families and clusters. He does things linearly and in patterns. So the whole idea that my kids don't get it, no. It's up to you to train your kids to know what is right. Because guess what? When you live in your natural neighborhood, your kid has to go to the school that your neighborhood says unless you have enough money to send them someplace else. And you're excited about that. Well, we're just going to move into so-and-so neighborhood because I want my kids to go to this school. Well, you need to do the same thing in Christ. Some of you all, I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost, you are frustrated because God needs you to pursue the new creation spirit that he gave you and the spirit of the mind of your new creation man. You need to be in a place where you can be fed, where you can be heard. You know, we've often said we don't want to be tolerated. We want to be celebrated. Come on now, let's get real. You're going to be celebrated where you fit. You're never going to be celebrated where you don't fit unless you pretend and conform, at which point you'll look good in person and in your prayer closet you're miserable. So God wants you all of you who are listening, this is the word for the hour. I'm telling you, by the time we get to the end of 2016, there's going to be a reshuffling of the church. There's going to be a migration of the church as God assigns people a calling according to the calling and the offices that he built their spirits to grow by. Not all of us are going to grow by the same thing. You know, there are people who grow in other countries, come here, they are downright sick to the acclimate to this. And even with that, they still never become what we are. So you're built for it. Some of you all are built to be under apostles. You are strong. You are focused. You're clear. You're decisive. You're orderly. And you are and not a slave. Now, there are, just like anything else, there are brutal and brutish and tyrannical apostles and prophets, but there are a whole lot of good ones out there as well, ones who really love God, who are frustrated today because they don't know why they can't get their congregations. I'm standing here today to pull that thing down. I'm telling you, you all who are dying on the vine just because you want to be in some large church to show you something that hopefully you get on a camera, you need to get where God wants you to be, because who's to say you are not built to help something else he wants to do grow? Some of you all, if you are an apostolic Christian, you have a powerful, catalytic, trailblazing, pioneering attitude that's going to make something out of nothing, that's going to build something, that's going to force it to grow even when hell says no. And you are warriors. Your whole life has been about fighting, has been going against the odds, has been overturning resistance. That is who you are. You need to be in a leader that's under a leader that does that, not a leader that's telling you, be still, be quiet, that's not humble, that's not meek. That's no. You need to be where your strengths are needed, because that's why you have them, and they don't fit in every congregation. If you are a prophetic Christian, you need to know that, and you need to know that unless you can hear God a certain way and understand God, and I don't mean just give the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and confirmation. I don't know what that is, but anyway, that's not you, because what the Holy Ghost does corporately when it comes to the prophetic or when he prophesies, and what he does specifically when he prophesies in a prophet, that's what you're going to grow under. You need to grow under a prophet, a pastor who understands your dreams, who understands your visions, who has a real balanced sense of what God is saying and doing and how to bring that out in you. Many people, when prophets, you're sitting up in these churches because I don't want to be flaky. Come on, not every prophet is flaky. Otherwise, you're saying that the whole institution is a bust. I don't think that's what you mean. And you cannot condemn a few misguided or underdeveloped prophets or even errant or devious ones, and you condemn the whole institution. Can't do that. So some of you all, you need a pastor who is going to help you dream and help you get it right, who's going to help you hear the word of the Lord, who's going to help you understand how to be a divine communicant for him, who's going to help you become strong in the Lord, face off with that other world, because that's the two things that apostles and prophets will do. They are the chief officers to face off with the other world. It's happening in your life anywhere. You need to be in a church that's going to help you deal with it. And I'm telling you, some of you all are dying in those evangelical churches, or your family's getting their head kicked in, or you're getting your head kicked in because you're not where you need to be. You're being told to be still, be silent, be quiet. Don't act like you know there's a Holy Ghost. And if you do, keep him in the car when you come in. Think you're being told that, and you don't fit. If you're an evangelical Christian, you have a passion. I mean a passion for folks getting saved. You're going to support missions. You're going to go on missions. You're going to want to do all of that because that's who you are. If you're a pastoral Christian or a classic ecclesial Christian, you are that Christian who wants to make sure that the church of God, the house of God is in order, the pastor is supported, the word is out, the community knows your church. They want to get there. Very important that you recognize these things. These are powerful attributes. If you are a teaching Christian, training and discipleship, your high point. You are about people learning God, learning the word, learning scripture, learning how to live in the kingdom, and you're kind of catechistic, if you will, in your mindset. You should know that, and you should know it as a family. Because if you're a family that the Lord is putting together or whatever one he's going to have a call on, you should know what kind of Christian you are. This word that I'm giving you today, you watch it, it's going to take off around the planet because Christian after Christian are going to realize why they left the church. You shouldn't have left the church. You just should have left the church you were in, not Jesus' church, but the church. You should have found out what environment you thrive in because not everybody grows in the same garden. You know, God. One of the prophets said to Israel, he said, you know, return to the garden from which you were hewn. You came up under Abraham. Get back over there. And so those of you, once you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get born again, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to know. I can't say it enough. I don't know why. You know, I didn't even plan this today, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost says, I'm trying to answer your prayer. I am trying to get your answer through. I am trying to get your breakthrough. I am so working at it. But you can't hear me because you're in an environment where I'm shut out or where this side of my intelligence is shut off. And that's why so many of you are walking around, I don't know what God says, I don't understand, I can't figure it out. Others of you are the likewise, you're apostolic pastors, evangelists, or prophets, etc., and you're not developed to do that because, again, you're trying to fit this one mold. Who in the world said we can only have one kind of Christian on the planet? Whose idea was that? Where did that come from? I don't even know who would even, well, now when you think about it, come on, that's like saying we're going to have one kind of cola. It's going to be Coke or Pepsi, the end. We're going to get a choice. So if you're allergic to Pepsi, if Coke has an ingredient that makes you sick, you're just fresh out of luck. Nobody does that. We have, you go in the supermarket and you see tons of options, especially in America. But we have told you, this thing is so real and it is so frustrating that when you look in the media, it's you got the Catholic Christian and the evangelical Christian. So the rest of us don't matter. Is that what we're saying? What the evangelicals said. So somebody has taken, not, blows my mind that evangelicals don't even show up in 1 Corinthians 12. But we are only one kind of Christian. That is not so, my brothers, not so, my family. I'm telling you, my sisters, this is not so. You're waiting for God to answer you, and God is waiting for you to get on the right wavelength. There are churches that God cannot speak in. He will never speak in because they will never let him. And so if you're sitting there needing to hear from God, it's not going to happen. And if God, and unless what God needs you to hear is 100% correlating with his destiny, you're not going to hear him. He's not going to say it because God expects you to seek me until you find it. And he expects you to seek him until you seek him with your whole heart and hear what he says. So there are churches, an evangelical church is going to give you a wonderful piece of prophecy. Every now and again, if something is important to the Most High, he's going to send in some wayward soldier or shake somebody sitting in a pew hiding out to say something. But that is not going to grow you. That's just going to announce something to you. So when you talk about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and prophecy, those are announcing words. Those are not revelatory. They're only marginally predictive. You need to be where your mantle and God coagulate because Jesus discharges more than one office. He does not just discharge the office of the evangelist and the office of the pastor. He discharges all fivefold offices, and he has a reason for doing that. His reasons have to do with how he met you and where he intends to use you and dispatch you in the world. A lot of you can't find your ministry because you're trying to find your ministry on a mission field, and God did not ordain you to go on a mission field. He sent you into the kingdom. He sent you into the marketplace. Some of you are trying to go help the lost, and God wants you to go help the fine. Some of you are trying to help the poor, and God wants you to go help the rich. You see, somebody you're trying to help the fail and the struggling, God wants you to help the affluent who needs guidance and direction. It's a different story when you find your place in God, because finding your place in God is not just finding out what your ministry is. You need to find out where your congregation is. Some of you are listening to me today, and you say, God, if you just tell me where to go, and he hasn't answered you. You know why he hasn't answered you? Because you want to go to another version of the same thing, and he didn't get any fruit out of you from this one. So he's not going to answer you because he knows he isn't going to get any more fruit from you. It's just a whole new concept, and it's not really new as much as it's fresh, because sometimes we need to know the difference between new and fresh. This is a fresh concept of where you belong. Not only where you belong ministerially, you need to know where you belong ecclesially. Where do I belong ecclesially? In the body of Christ, in the congregation, in the spectrum of the fivefold, what is my pastoral type? And ironically, or maybe not so much ironically, but our assessments will tell you. We get people who take our assessment and it says, you belong in a pastoral environment. You thrive in a prophetic environment. You do well in an evangelical environment. And you know what? When you get in that environment, you will do well. Now, when you first get there, you're going to be critical and fussy because, you know, the anointing of the old is going to resist having to leave for the new. So don't go to a new church and say, well, I went for 3 weeks and it didn't work. No, no, no. You don't, are you kidding? You have a job. You don't quit your job after 3 weeks. You stay there until you acclimate. And so when you get into your new church, once God tells you that this is it, you stay there until you acclimate, and you work at acclimating, not disproving God. The Lord has so much for his people. And I'm telling you, I can't say it enough. God says, I can't answer a lot of you because you're not where you can hear me. The word I have to give you, you have no place in yourself for it, because there are things. The evangelical church is happy about you getting saved, staying saved, making it to heaven, being good Christians, and they are not wrong. Nobody's condemning anyone. There is no best or worst. There is compatible and incompatible. And a lot of us are in incompatible churches because you're under incompatible fivefolders. What officer, what mantle did God build your new creation spirit to thrive from the most? That is the question, and it's not going to go away, because now that I've opened my mouth and talked about it, it isn't going to go away. You're going to have to find your church, and you're going to have to, first of all, discover, am I more suited to an apostolic church, a prophetic church, an evangelical church, a pastoral church, or a teaching church? You should know it. And you should find more than one so that you can figure out which ones are more suited to your specialized construction. Because, you know, you just can't just say, okay, blind, close my eyes, go down there, apostolic. Don't do that. But once you're thinking on that vein, the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you and guide you. And I promise you, when you connect with the pastor, first of all, forget that, with the fivefolder that God has ordained you for or constructed you to respond to the best, your world is going to open up. Everybody around you may still stay dry, but because of you being in the right place, your world is going to open up. Blessings are going to come. Ministries are going to open. Trust me, answers are going to come. Your family is going to be more protected. Your children are going to be more protected. There are a lot of times you have a whole lot of sickness and stuff in your house because the clout that you need to hedge your family about is not in that church or not in that office. So give a lot of thought to what I'm saying. I would love to hear your feedback on this. There are times that I share things, and I would love for you to say to me, Dr. Price, that spoke to me, or Dr. Price, that helped me, or even, Dr. Price, I need to hear more information, because this I know I'm right on, and I know this is the word of God, but I would love to hear how God deals with you on this subject. So don't hold back from me. You can Facebook me, etc. But right now, I'm going to call on Ashley to give us her commentaries. I like Ashley's commentaries, you know, because I like to hear what my fruit is doing and saying and how they're receiving the wisdom that God puts in my mouth. So, Prophet Ashley.
My. Well, we all know I always have a comment.
Or two.
Or two or three. And so do some of your other people. You know, my texts start going off. I know it's good when my text messages start lighting up, my Facebook inbox is going off. This is great information that I'm sure some people wish they heard 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I know so many. I know people to this day who have fussed and complained about the church that they're in for literally 25 or 30 and never went anywhere else. Leadership changed hands. People came and went. They stayed. And especially, I know one spouse wanted to stay. The other wanted to go. And it's just so interesting to watch that in action. But I love how you said we only know Jesus as the pastor or lowly savior. And we only think about, let me back up. I appreciate how you teach us to appreciate each of the folds. So many times this turns into a war and a territorial game. It's either pastors or apostles is how we usually end up fighting. It's either evangelists or it's prophets and not working to work together because he never wrote out of history any of them. Nobody was written out. We know when the Lord ended a dynasty, when he ended a decade, he told us, you know, Dan, we don't see you anymore. Eli's line wiped out. So he always wants to know when somebody's wiped out, never to return again. And none of us got that, praise him. So we're all still around. And how you're teaching us, no, there is a value. And some should go here and some should go there. And we need to know the difference between new and fresh. See, these are the things right there, that apostle's mantle. We'll say, this is new. You haven't heard it. And really, it's fresh. It's been freshened up, and this is a good – well, because I think a lot of prophets and apostles maybe get themselves in trouble by using the wrong language, and they may actually not be saying the wrong thing, but they're presenting it inappropriately. You need to go where your mantle and God coagulate. Where does he flow with you? And, of course, no familial reward for going to the right school. There's no familial reward for going to the right church. I mean, and honestly, it wasn't until I moved out to Tulsa where I saw in almost epidemic proportions sometimes families going to three different churches to make everybody happy. Well, this one makes him happy. That one makes me happy. And this is the one the kids like. But nobody's doing anything for God.
But going to church.
Blew my mind. Never seen anything like that. I was like, really? You go to – I mean, when I grew up, that was not enough. We didn't have those kind of rights as teenagers to decide where we were going to church. Like you said, you know, I'm sure my mother told me at least once, well, you don't get to pick anything. I mean, I never questioned where I went to church because I liked it, but you don't get to pick where you go to school. You don't get to pick where you go to church. It's a non-negotiable. So some of the liberties that we have allowed just are really astounding because we have – brought down our church attendance to optional volunteerism. You know, you go when you need something, so you should really go to the church that feeds your needs, not the church that empowers you and readies you to do something for God, because that's how we're taught a lot of times. So that's good stuff.
Well, and it is true, Ashley. And I'll tell you something else. We've also been taught that since Christ is in us, we're the church. No, no, no. You may be the church, but you're not the congregation.
Oh, my.
And so, you know, because a lot of times we're acting like we're carrying the entire congregation of a possible church in us, so we don't have to go and join the congregation of the mighty. We don't have to sit among the assemblies of God. That's not true. The Christ is in you as the person. He is not in you as the corporate body. He is not in you as the congregation. You are part of the ecclesia of Jesus Christ, and the key word in ecclesia is assembly. It's not isolation. It's assembly. So you don't go to church because you listen to some half-taught preacher tell you it doesn't make a difference where you pray, or it makes a big difference where you pray when you want an answer.
Wow.
See, now, if you don't want an answer, then it doesn't care. It doesn't matter where you pray. But if you're looking for an answer and you're looking for God to hear, you need to be where he told you he gave you his ear, because God doesn't hear where you decide. You don't drag God where you want him to go and then think he's going to respond. Just because you drag him, it doesn't mean he's going to respond. He's just going to shut up. You think about God, we drug him and put him in Dagon's, we put him in Dagon's temple. God didn't say, he didn't say a word. He was talking to the priests and the prophets, and he's like, he didn't say a word. He sat there, y'all put me in this place, I don't want to be here, and he cut up. He literally cut up, and I don't want to be here. Every time you put God, when I read my Bible, every time you take him where he doesn't want to go, he cuts up. They put him in Dagon's thing. They close the door, come in, boom. He done knocked the fish head thing down, the fish god down on the floor, cut his arms. They go and set it back up. He's still disturbed. God's still disturbed. I don't want to be here. I told you I don't want to be here. And so then he comes back and cut off his head. After that, he's still cutting up. And he doesn't like it. So what is he doing? Not everybody getting sick. He got diseases, tumors. He got cancer. He got everything growing because I don't want to be here. Finally, they get the news. You know, this new God doesn't like us. You know, we never had any other God act like this when we put him in. They've been all getting along. God did not want to join the pantheon and told him, I don't want to be a part of this pantheon. Let me out. So they put him out. And before they put him out, they made the little golden tumors in the mice, and they sent him out. They made the tumors to say, this guy get hot, he's going to give you some tumors, so don't make him mad. Okay? If he gets hot with your land, he's going to send some pestilence, so don't make him mad. So they wanted that, and God did not tell him to throw those away. He said, put them in my cup, in my ark, because I want you to remember, I don't like being where you want me to be. I want to be where I say I want to be. We turn around, come down, here comes God again, cutting up again when they with others. The poor thing, they put him on the wrong thing, he cut up. They put him in the wrong person, he cut up. They let the wrong person touch him, he cuts up. And we act like because we're not looking like we're a gilded ark or a gilded box that it's not the same thing. Oh, no, God is cutting up because we got him where he doesn't want to go. And when he doesn't want to go someplace, he cuts up. People get sick, stuff starts happening, things don't work. I mean, think about it. I don't want to go there. And if we start mixing him up with other gods, he does all kinds of things to sanctify himself. You know, in a Dagon situation, sanctify meant extricate. He extricated himself from that. I don't want to be a part of this pantheon. I don't belong to them. I made them. They bow to me. I don't bow to them. Why do you think Dagon was always falling? Because God was like, they think you're something, but I'm going to show you nothing. You know, because he's a person. If God's a concept, you do anything you want to do with him. But if he's a person, you are going to have to comply. You can't just cooperate with God. You got to comply. He doesn't even understand cooperation. He's got this thing about being almighty, most high, creator, alpha, omega, beginning. He's got those things. And so I would say to those of you, you listen to them and you let them tell you it didn't matter where you went to church. And you let them tell you it didn't matter where you did that. And you let man dictate where you go. That's a Jeroboam system. And you need to read up on what Jeroboam did to God's people. Because God has opinions and he has decisions. He has decrees. He even has in his book, Your Day's Fashion. You can't just take him where you want to go and then tell him, I'm taking you here and you better bless me. God's like, I may go because I said I'll never leave you, but I'm not going to bless you. We have those who know their God. And I appreciate doing this and I appreciate being this because I want this man happy with me because a happy God is a blessing God. See, so I keep him happy, and he keeps the blessing. The more I work to please God, the more he works to please me. God is a very responsive and reciprocal relationship. You treat him bad, he's going to cut off. You treat him good, he's going to release. That's him. He said that. Deuteronomy, the blessings and curses say exactly that. He's very responsive, and he's extraordinarily reciprocal. We don't treat it that way because we presume on it. But in Deuteronomy 12, he said, I'm going to pick a place. Deuteronomy 12:12, I'm pick a place where you go to worship. He said, I've been tolerating y'all doing whatever you want to do because you all were wandering trying to find a home. But now that I've settled you, I'm going to tell you where I want to be worshiped. And that's where I expect you to show up to meet me because that's where I'm going to be. And so for some of you all who are listening to me today, you let somebody talk you out of where your blessings were. And you let somebody talk you out of where your protections were and where your hedge was and where your safeguards were. And so you and God have been in a battle. And trust me, God plays to win. He's in it to win it from the beginning. So, anyway, Ashley, wasn't that great?
Yes, and if I may make a shameless plug here for our program, this is also why I'm always going to just bring it home. This is also why we have our program set up the way we do. How many people do we have on our ministry training and life advisement that are crying right now because they are in an area where there are not churches giving that kind of word or there is not a strong apostolic or prophetic church? And so we tell them, now you must be a fellowship somewhere, but they're plugging in, they're getting on their program to get that feeding and that developing, working that mantle. And so that was my shameless plug for PPM Global Resources because we do supplement and we add two. And so many people are like, I can't find it where I am, but I can find it here. And I love the internet for that. That's how you know it was God's idea for the internet, because we can spread this gospel any way we need to.
I know it. And he knew that his flock would be scattered. And so those who would seek him, he still had to find a place where he could be found. And I do appreciate the plug, because in some of those ministerial advisement programs that we offer, we are birthing apostolic and prophetic and fivefold leaders. We are birthing people who will eventually set up those churches in their regions. But on the other side of that is us letting the body know, excuse me, I don't care if it's only six people in the church. You realize that a cell is smaller than six people. And you know what? You still need a cell. You take the wrong chip out your DNA and you are a monkey. So don't talk to me about small, okay? I ain't impressed with that. Anyway.
I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. Okay. Prophet Adia, say something deep. I am crying. Oh, I'm laughing so hard.
Amen. I'll just say amen. Hi, everybody.
I'm gonna put myself on mute because I got to get myself together.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Paula Price Show today. You know, I have a private saying that I say sometimes about the Paula Price Show, and that is that it is like a box of chocolates because you never know what you're going to get. So thank you, Dr. Price, for that, for keeping it on. On the Paula Price Show. Welcome, everybody. This is Prophet Adia. I'm here to let you know how you can connect with us after the Paula Price Show. And you know, I'm gonna speculate that some of you might want to connect with us after today's show. So here's the deal. We want you to go to drpaulaprice.com. First things first, make sure that you join our mailing list if you're not on there already. If you visit us at drpaulaprice.com, you'll see right there on the homepage a plug that says add me or join our mailing list, and you can click a link that says add me. Make sure that you click that link. We want to make sure that you stay in the know about everything Dr. Paula Price. Concerning the Executive Apostleship Retreat that Dr. Price mentioned today, what you need to do is right there on the homepage, drpaulaprice.com, click the link that's right by the event announcement, the retreat announcement. We want you to fill out an inquiry form so that we know that you would like to attend. That way we can send you information on how you can get involved with the retreat. Those dates, again, guys, are April 23rd through the 26th, so that you can begin to plan. It's the 23rd through the 26th of April. Of course, there are registration costs involved, but what we want to do first is to get some information about you so that we can send you what you need to register to attend for this event. So please go online, drpaulaprice.com. If the high-level official is you, if she's talking about you, then we want you there with us in April, 23rd through the 26th. Also coming up in June, the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Right now we have extended our buy one, get one. We're still offering the buy one, get one free deal. We do not want you to miss it. The forum is a powerful, powerful event for prophets and prophetic types. Prophets come to us. Some of the prophets who have been coming for 7-8 years since we've been doing this. We're so excited to be able to do this for you every single year. It is not a conference. It is actually a module and training session for prophets and intercessors, psalmists, seers, dreamer of dreams, all of those prophetic types. We want you to come on out and see us this June. The dates for the forum are the 19th through the 21st. We're going to be here in Tulsa. You can actually get all the information that you need. Book your room, get yourself registered, drpaulaprice.com. It's the hub for everything Dr. Paula Price. So make sure you visit us online so you can check that out. We're so excited excited to be able to connect with you guys on this level. So if you haven't already plugged into Dr. Price on social media, make sure that you go to Facebook.com and you want to look up Dr. Paula Price or Apostle Paula Price, and make sure you click that link that says like so that you can get connected and hooked into everything that Dr. Price is doing. She usually does a personal message every morning about her journey to breakthrough. A lot of you have asked us, you know, what's Dr. Price's story and how did she get to be the woman of God that she is today? Well, she has been sharing a lot about her personal journey to breaking through and breaking beyond, and we want to make sure that you're a part of that. So click like on Facebook.com so that you can stay plugged into everything that she's been sharing with her Facebook family. Also on Twitter, Dr. Price does live, we do live tweeting every show, so connect with us on Twitter.com. You want to follow, her handle is at Dr. Paula Price. Last but certainly not least, LinkedIn.com. You can also connect with Dr. Price there. She has a group on LinkedIn, especially for businessmen and women. So look her up on LinkedIn.com under Dr. Paula Price. We're going to see you online. God bless you guys.
All right. Thank you, Prophet Adia, our correspondent out there. I'm back.
Have
Dr.
you
Price,
recomposed
back.
Yourself? Have you recomposed yourself? Have you gained your composure?
I don't know. I know some of your people were not ready because I got the text. So, you know, this show is completely unscripted.
I know. And, you know, but there are days that I really restrain myself. But come on, who are we kidding? You know, a lot of the theology that we run on today cannot take on hands and feet, let alone brain and thought. And so some things we just got to continue to ask God for wisdom. That's why I make a big deal about wisdom. Wisdom is very practical, very pragmatic. And so I was just, you know, because so many people, you know, Ashley, won't go to a church because it's small. I'm like, are you kidding?
Yep.
Lose your pinky. You'll miss it. Lose a fingernail. Let a fingernail get ripped off. You Ooh. Need that fingernail. And so the point is, it's not just whether or not it's big or small enough for your ego or your esteem or your prestige. It's whether or not it's bringing out the best of Christ in you. Let me tell you, apostolic Christians have faith for apostolic things. Prophetic Christians' faith work in that environment. Evangelicals, likewise. And when it's all, that's why sometimes, hey, Ash, you remember those days of the faith movement? Some people got it. I mean, they just sneezed, and it worked. The rest of us, 15 years, we still fine. Why? Because
yeah.
that wasn't our vein. No. So,
and how
anyway.
Many years, and how many years did it take to figure out that wasn't our thing? How much time was blown? How much money was spent? How many offerings did you give and rent checks did you give to the preacher before, you know, you realized, oh, this isn't my field?
Because what I need is not in this preacher. You have
yeah.
to sell. Even when you sell, you know, a lot of times people sell, and we just sell because they got a television show, or we sell because they have a testimony we like. And, you know, doing that occasionally, you know, in the moment, that's fine. But if you're talking about routine support, when you expect a routine supply, remember, God is responsive and reciprocal. And if that's the case, he cannot give you a supply from somebody else's coffers. If your stuff is not in that coffer, I don't care how much you sell, you're not going to get anything back. I don't care if you sold for Hanukkah. I don't care if you sold for Purim. I don't care what you sold for. It's not going to give you anything back because you're sowing in a place where God made no deposit for you. There are no problems. You know, we act like his providences are everywhere. There are places where God's providences are specific to that pastor, that leader, that fivefolder, that type, and that church. You need to make sure a providence is there for you. Because they'll appreciate it. God will appreciate you keeping them going. But he still is not going to go against what he said works. God is a very interesting person. And here's why. He knows he's right. He knows he set all of this in motion beforehand. So he's saying, I have already put your money here. You can go to work every day of your life, and you could go to a wonderful place and volunteer all day long. But you cannot ask for a paycheck where you didn't work. And you can't go into jobs that you're not on the rolls. You can go in and say, I really like this company, but you're not on the roll. If you're a volunteer, they don't create paychecks for you. If they're going to pay you for your time and your effort, they've got to put you on the rolls, and you have got to be formally accepted and compatible because they're only going to keep you as long as you're productive. God has allocations. I studied this thing for 15 years, and it stunned me when he said, I have allocations. When you study certain passages the way they really were written, not the way we have adapted them to modern culture, you find out that a lot of people are outside of their allocated congregation because there's no allocation for them in that congregation. So, anyhow, Ashley, do I have callers or do we have some announcements? Do you have some announcements for me?
I do, and you do.
Well, let's do the announcements so I can catch my breath, get a drink of water, and then we'll come back and take our calls.
Yes, because we all need to catch our breath after that. If we... We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our Standardized Ministry Assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, fivefold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at, and may be interested in doing for your church. We help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full-time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer three levels of assessments. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, the Apostolic Diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
I wanted to take a few minutes to tell you why you want to get this course. Yes, you want to know who you are. Yes, you want to know what God sent you to do. But it is not enough to know thyself. You need to know those that the Lord has assigned to work with you, to labor with you, to understand you, to hold up your hands, and to understand that they are not just volunteers helping out, but they are fixtures. They are affixed to your commission. They are your fixtures. They're your pillars, your founders, your ground. They're your communicators, your extenders, whatever you want to call them, and it's all of that. You need someone to fit all of those capacities. And so I want you to consider using my brand new teaching, building your commission team, stage one, if you're an apostle or an apostolic minister, because it's all the same. But what distinguishes what this teaching does is not that we're telling people about their ministry. No, we're taking people who are already in ministry or who are predisposed to ministry and who are competent or show potential for competency. And we're telling them, you're assigned to not just help me preach the word or help me spread the word, you're assigned to help me establish something in the earth, build it from the ground up, or fortify it if it's already in existence, and expand it. You want a commission team is about perpetuity, not just performance. And that is what commission training is. So may I encourage you to go to my website and to click, I want this commission team. You can go to ppmglobalresources.com and say, I didn't understand it. Now I know. And it's going to give you a blueprint.
And then it's going to give you criteria, and it's going to give you standards, and it's going to give you protocols, but it's also going to give you some policies and procedures as well as practices. And all together, we come alongside you as you begin to identify those that God's called to help you do more than go on a mission. We want to help you identify those who are called to become fixtures of your apostleship commission, of your apostolic commission. Again, that's drpaulaprice.com or ppmglobalresources.com.
All right, and we are back live with the one and the only Dr. Paula Price.
You praying for me, Ashley? Are you praying for me, girl?
Without ceasing, Dr. Price, as I pray for myself.
Well, I am ready for my first caller. Who do I have on the line today that I can bless with the wisdom of God?
Well, you can certainly bless Angelia. She is calling from Florida. She was on last week, and you did not get to her. So she called in, and she is feeling discouraged and needs encouragement. She's looking for a word from God, some prayer from you. Angelia from Florida, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just hoping that I have all my chips in place.
You've got chips? Can I say that you're not talking about potato chips, right?
Absolutely not.
How
I just
can
want
I
to make sure I'm all together.
So, oh, I'm sure
first
you'll
of
be
all,
fine.
I want to tell you that I did take both the MAQ and the PAQ. I don't know if you want me to just give you just a little bit of what I found from that, which was surprising to me, prophet, apostolic, special ministries, business and finance, intercessor, and seer is what I got from that, which was quite a lot. That had my mouth on the ground. Some people get in... They believe and they want to be in the ministry, but that was not something that was even in my mind. So, needless to say, I knew something was up because of the ability to pray for people and being waking up and praying for people and that kind of thing in the middle of the night, you know, like 3-ish a.m., you know, that kind of thing. And so I knew something was up. I just did not realize the depth of it. Also because there have been things that have gone on in our family that I've kind of noticed that hasn't gone on in other people's families. So, I mean, after a while, you begin to wonder, are we on some sort of a list or something?
So you're on a hit list, huh?
Yes, absolutely. It's like, oh, my goodness. And so, I mean, with that, there of course, I'm smiling, I'm laughing now because... there are times when you get really frustrated and really down, and then there's the anxiety at times that comes with the territory. Fortunately, I was blessed with a sense of humor, but, you know, sometimes it just gets to a point. And I know that, you know, because you've spoken very freely and openly about, you know, some of the things you've gone through, and I appreciate that you shared that with everybody. To let us know that, you know, sometimes, you know, you can go through a valley or a desert. and that there is the other side of it. And also I was led because I think the Lord has showed me that there are hindering and blocking forces that he wanted me to pray about as well. So... And he's also introduced some other things to me, which shocked me. I mean, I had no. He introduced the concept of me getting married, which was like something that I oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You know, I've never been one of those women that that thought, oh gee, I would love to, you know, like populate the earth or something like that.
So you don't want to populate
there?
Earth. You don't want to populate the Earth. Okay. But let me ask
Go ahead.
I want to ask you a question. I need to ask you a couple of questions because I don't want you to get off of this line without the reason you're calling being answered.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a couple of things. First of all, Angelia, do you attend church? I don't need to know the church or the pastor. I always try to tell folks that because, you know, I don't want people to think that we're attacking any particular ministry or whatever. But do you attend church, and how long have you been in the church you're in?
I do attend church. It is a Baptist church. And while they do have some movement in the church, I don't think that they quite understand that it is, you know, to the extent that it is the Holy Spirit, but yet I can see it very clearly, and it's surprising to see that in the church. And, yes, I've been there. I think it's about coming up on a year and a couple of months. I believe that is where he has had me to go, but it's interesting because there is really no movement, and the pastor is not, the pastor doesn't even believe in tongues. So,
you went to a Baptist church. Why did you expect that? Now, that's not the city that don't have any.
Right, I went to the church because I believed that the Lord had told me to go to the church, and I'm open to hearing if I was wrong or not, but I sincerely believe that that is where he wanted me to go.
Well, let me finish because I want you to get your answers a little more succinct for me so that I can get through this with you. So now, before you went to that church, were you at another church or did you just get saved?
No, I have been for a while, and then I backslid for a period of time, and then I came back to God. Well, I was always with God. I had just wandered away, but my mind was always there, always thinking about God. Whenever anybody would ask me any question, immediately, I would want to defend, you know, Christianity and all of that. And it wasn't like I was out out in the street and out and about. I was never like that. You know, it was just so much frustration that I stopped attending church.
Were you in a spirit-filled church?
I was in another. I actually went before that. It had been a while before I'd gone to church, and I had asked God to send me a church. So that's why I thought that. That this particular church that I'm going to now is something that he had for me.
Okay, now let's go on. I want you to repeat after me.
We.
Come on, repeat. Are.
Okay.
On a journey.
On a journey.
Okay. We are on a journey. So I want to get this done because I have other callers, but there are some things that God is revealing, and so I want you to answer me as succinctly as you can. Now, let me ask you, so how long have you been saved all told? Let's forget the little excursion you took someplace else. How long all told have you been saved?
Since I was 16, so it is,
okay.
It's been
a lot of years.
A
okay,
while.
You have to give me any more than that. Yeah, okay. I don't want you to tell your age. You might not want us to know that much about you. Now, And in that time, are you filled with the Holy Spirit?
Am I filled?
No.
Yes. Yes.
You're filled with the Holy Spirit. So you talk in other tongues. In other words,
yes, I do.
Roll with me. I'm going someplace. Because there are some things that God is showing me, and I'm just looking at some of the things that you said. Now, the other thing I want to ask you before I start answering your concerns is, have you ever been married?
I have never been married. I do not have any children.
Okay. So you've been, you know, pretty much working with God.
Yes.
Don't tell me the rest. I already saw it, so just leave that alone, okay? We're just going to roll with this. We're just going to roll right where I'm going. Okay? I am on this phone to do what works, not to share everything I see or know. I'm to do what works. So here's what I want to say. First of all, I want to say to you and everybody listening, we need to stop saying we go to a Baptist church or a Methodist church. You know, that's not an embarrassment. Those are valid churches. They are valid institutions. And guess what? A lot of them are older than these little upstarts that we lay claim to. They have been around. They're reliable to God. And when God gets ready to put some Holy Ghost in there, he will put some in. But maybe it serves his purpose not to have it there, because I've not known God to do to be without anything he wants to do. If he wants to do something, hell, heaven, flesh can't stop him. So if God sent you there, he sent you there because that church also teaches, doesn't it?
It does teach, but it does not teach about the movement of the Spirit. And I do see evidence of it.
Okay, you don't have to help me. I'm telling you, I'm with you. We're on the same page. I don't care about the teaching about the movement of the Spirit right now. You're learning the basics of Jesus Christ, and you're learning the fundamentals of God.
Yes.
And you know what? That is a good thing. Considering the fact that you just came back to God, you probably need this remediation. You probably need to have a place where you're not going to be taken off point with all of that, the sensationalism and that spectacular of the spiritual things, because apparently that wasn't enough to ground you. I think God has you in this church to, A, ground you, and, B, to put you in a place where he can put you back together. You went through some things, beloved, and God wants to put you back together. And you need back. I'm telling you. And because you've been through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you've been through. And it was not pretty out there where you were. No matter how much you want to downplay it, it was ugly. And it was ugly because you missed God, number one. You really were filled with the Spirit of God. And number two, and number three, that thing went further than you thought it was ever going to go. Because that's how the enemy does it. He gets us out there, and we think we're going across the street. Next thing we know, we left the country. We don't even know how we did that, okay? And so God wants to put you back together. He is not interested in all of that spiritual stuff with you right now. God wants you to get the basic fundament of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something. A lot of those Baptist churches, those traditional mainline churches, have great teaching programs. And they are wonderful to get back online with Christ when you've gone out, because being in the Spirit is heady, and it takes a lot of maturity and a lot of stability to move out in the Spirit of God and not get lost. So a lot of people in those churches, in those very hyper movement churches, they're lost. They are addicted to the flow of God. They're addicted to the euphoria. They're addicted to everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, having a church where the Spirit is free to move is no guarantee that people are going to be any more solid or stable in God, in Christ, than they are where he isn't moving. And like you said, I believe that the Spirit is moving in that church, this person, but they have to work within the confines of what they have. So that's the first thing. Be at peace with your church. Stay there. You're going to be there for another 2 years. Accept it.
How many years did you say?
Another 2 or 3 years. Accept.
Okay.
Be a settlement and serve. One thing God wants to teach you to do is to contribute to his house.
Ah, okay.
He wants you to serve. So serve those people. You know, sign up for the disc, do some bake sale or whatever else they got. And God said, and be visible this time. Let
visible?
It be known. Visible. In other words, let it be known you're willing to help.
Okay.
Your prophetics and all of that, you need to put that on hold for a little bit. God wanted to let you know where you're going to end up. But right now, he's got a lot of repairing of your soul to do. Now, you probably won't understand all of this until you hang up and call back and listen to this again this evening. But God is speaking through my heart, and he says, I've got a lot of repairing of her soul. So you do not need the distractions of hyper-spirituality right now. It is not going to benefit you. It will not anchor you in Christ. And God wants to anchor you in Jesus Christ. And he wants to put you in a place where you are loved, period. Not loved because you can pray, not loved because you can move the Spirit, not loved because of that, but you are loved because of you.
Mm.
That's important to him. So don't even get caught up in all of your spiritual history and resume. That doesn't mean anything for Christ. And I'm being honest with you when I said, because if that was all of that, then it would have been all of that. That didn't keep you. What's going to keep you is the engrafted word of God that this minister has to offer. And you need to be loved. But you need to be loved for you, not for what you do. Are we coming close to where we're going?
Absolutely. I'm really thankful to hear that.
That's what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to go there, and you don't need to be Shira, the Shiro. You don't need to be the hero. You don't need to be the rescuer. That pastor can run his church, and it's stable. Well, the beautiful part about it is stable, and here's what God said, and it's not as meaty as what you're accustomed to. So it can be a help to you. It can be an anchor to you. And so, and for the record, just to let you know, I am a representative of the entire kingdom of Christ, not the pieces that I'm familiar with, but the pieces that work for him. So whatever works for him, I'm going to do. And not everybody is supposed to be out of those churches or under this church or whatever. We, our job and my job, I see, as an apostle, to make sure that every stone, every lively stone is placed in its proper setting. And not every setting is the same, and not every setting is made the same. This setting you're in is going to be good for you. You are going to be at peace. And while you sit there and listen, as soon as you take off all of this other, you know, this other spiritual appetite of yours, I want you to put that aside. I want you to take it off, put it in a little drawer, put it in your chest, and close it up. Because God needs to minister to your soul. And you're going to be surprised at how richly fed you're going to get, at least, maybe not as spiritually as you want, but at least redemptively. You're going to get richly fed redemptively in that place. Because there is a redemptive anointing on that house. They help people recover. Now, I don't know how this guy does it or whatever he is. I don't know. But I'm telling you, they help people recover. And you're there to recover.
Excellent.
So, now we're all at peace. We can pray. Now, as far as marriage, I don't think that that's the season for you right now. I'm telling you, I'm trying as delicately as I can tell you to say you need to let God do what he needs to do in your soul.
No, I totally agree with you. Like I said, I was shocked to hear. That was something that he had planned for me in the future. I guess he wants to prepare me for it.
Well, because you know what? You probably wanted to know why you're on the planet. Okay, so why am I in your body again? And why am I
here
right now? You wanted to know
yeah.
that. So God sent you to this process to let you know this is what I made you. This is how I built you. And ultimately, if you stay putty in my hand, I will bring it to pass. But you're not going to be, just put that aside right now because you and God have some things to work through. And as you work through this, God is going to bring out that stuff in you that you thought was gone from the time you were a kid. You and God have been struggling between the ages of 18 and 21 for very trying times for you as you were trying to find your identity and as you were trying to find who you are and your hope. You know, for you, your hope has been shattered so much in your life, it's not funny. And so God wants to put you in a place where you don't have to be on demand, you don't have to be on show, you don't have to be on anything. Just sit, learn, and serve. That's all he wants you to do. And if you take your time and let him do that, while you're doing that, the Holy Spirit is going to do a major work in your soul. And your head is going to come back on straight, and the confusion and all of that stuff that you get, particularly that mess, that kind of tight thing you get in the back of your head, or I'm feeling it on the right side, God's going to heal all of that. Because he's going to heal the sources. And your source files, as to put it in language that we talk today, your source files need a lot of upgrade, and they need a lot of renovation. When they're done, then he's going to walk you out of that church. He's going to put you under a seasoned prophet. It's going to be an apostolic prophet. They're going to try to tell you that they're apostle. They're not. It's an apostolic prophet, and then God's going to start to develop you.
Thank you. I've been crying out to him to do this for me, so I'm very grateful to hear that.
Well, I'm happy to be able to say it. It touches my heart to hear how much the Lord loves his family and how committed he is to us, our past, present, and future. And for you, my beloved, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to pray. For you right now, God's commitment to your past is very important because he cannot get you into the future until he deals with it. And so you're going to have a wonderful time. This is a good place for you. These are sweet people. Because sometimes you're in all high spiritual churches, man, it gets a little whacked. And if you're already struggling, that's not where you'd be fixed. Okay? Keep you over here in quiet. quietly. So I bless every church the Lord Jesus has. I bless your church. I bless your minister. I don't care about the denomination. I don't care about all of that. What I care about is how it's going to get done, what Jesus needs to get done in our lives, individually and corporately. So now when you tell people you're spirit-filled and go to a Baptist church, you don't have to act like you've been somehow demoted. You have not been. You are, God said, I'm enfolding you in my womb. And so you're going to be wrapped in this, and it's going to be wonderful. When you come out, this is a cocoon for you, because when you come out, then you'll be ready to soar. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Father, for Angelia. Thank you for her life, the journey. But God, I thank you for the love that you have for her, and that she is going to encounter that love in a way that she never has in all of the years that she has walked with you and you've walked in her. So God, bless this woman. Bless her with peace. Bless her with calm. Bless her with clarity in every way. And God, I thank you that as you heal her soul and heal her mind, and God, most of all, her broken heart, God, that she begins to meet you as her dad and meet you as her provider and meet you as her rescuer and her protector. God, she needs to know you in these ways so that she knows why you made her your daughter and why you brought her into your kingdom. God, I'm asking that you take this lost, wandering thing off of her life and root her and ground her in this place so that it can partner with you in rooting her and grounding her in your love and in your kingdom. God, cover her. We cover her today with the blood of the Lamb. I'm asking that you continue to bless her, God, and minister to her. And God, give her even a fondness for this work and give them a fondness for her, that this purpose that you have in here is not annulled by any force, seen or unseen, present or future. We bless you for doing it, Holy Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Stay in touch now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. I just wanted to know if you had that mute on or not. Didn't I have to text you?
Oh, it's always on. When you're talking, it is. See, what happens if I don't, I'm bursting out laughing when we're talking about monkeys.
That got you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Who's my next caller?
Your next caller is Jora from Maryland. She is calling because she needs wisdom, guidance, and instruction. Jora from Maryland, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Paula Price.
How are you? Is it Dora? So I want to say it correctly. It's Dora, right?
No, ma'am. It's Jora with a J.
It is Jora. See, I changed the J. See, I flipped it in my brain. Hi, Jora. Let's start over again. Hi, Jora from Maryland. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Great, great. Well, how is it there in Maryland? Is it nice and warm?
No, ma'am. It's freezing.
I know. I just thought I'd warm up the situation. How can I bless you today, my beloved?
Yes, I was just seeking some guidance for this phase of my life as I continue to move forward and where God will have me to move. Just wisdom and guidance.
Okay, so now, in this phase of your life, are we talking career, ministry, family, business, marriage, parenting? Stop me at any point.
Career and ministry.
Career and ministry. Okay. How's your family doing?
My family's doing great. Actually doing great.
Yes. How many children do you have?
I have three sons.
Three sons. I only saw one boy, but I guess because they're all so, probably so much alike, I only saw one.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants to talk about your baby boy.
All right. Okay.
All right. The first thing God wants you to do is to be patient with this young one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're talking about an independent thinker and a free spirit.
Yes.
This boy works your nerves, and not in a bad way, because reminds you of you.
Yes,
he
ma'am.
Reminds you of you. I'm looking at you 17, 18 years old, free spirit, all in stuff, just exploring life. Literally, up until maybe the last several years, you enjoyed life, and you took life on as a challenge. but you came upon a wall that you couldn't move. And it, because you had never had to face that kind of resistance or defeat, you let something in you get broken. And you allowed your soul to be broken and not healed, which is why you can't hear. You are not a person who doesn't know what she wants to do. You're very decisive, you know, and you're very forthright and forceful. But this particular ordeal took something out of you that you need. And because of that, you can't figure which way is up. And so God says to tell you, I am going to visit you, and I'm going to pour in you some healing. I see him with a picture, and he's pouring in you this thick restoration of not just ministry, because this wasn't just about ministry. This was about you. This thing fits you at the very core of who you are. And I hear God saying, I'm going to put that piece back better than before.
Thank you, Lord.
The enemy worked hard through this ordeal to put the cup of trembling in your hand, and you have been second-guessing everything since then. But God said, you know me. I have walked with you and brought you from a child. You and God, I don't care how saved, unsaved you thought you were, this man took you as a child. And I mean, from 3 years old, God has had his eye on you. And he's been guiding you, and he's been grooming you for a particular path. And at the time that you're about ready to be brought into the deep, or I should say the depth of his training, this thing came out of nowhere. You got slammed out of hell. But God says to tell you, even that was part of the purpose, that you would know that without him, you're vulnerable. See, all your life, it was you. Then you had to learn, without God, you are nothing, and you're vulnerable. So he said, I'm going to visit you. I'm visiting your house. You're going to, God said, I'm going to visit you this morning. When this morning, the morning comes, you're going to feel the presence of God, and God is going to literally burn his new call and his new way in your life. I see him moving like a laser up and down your body, completely restoring you and resting in your mind. I see him putting his thumb between your eyes on your forehead, and he says, I'm bringing you back online, and you shall be made whole. That brokenness of spirit was not meant to last. It was meant to get your attention and to make you realize that because of the great thing that he has for you and the awesome calling and destiny he has on your life, he had to make sure that you understood how fragile you are without him. But God meant for you to be awakened, not rendered frail. And he's taking this emotional frailty and this psychological fragileness that you have, and he's removing it. You're going to be stronger than you ever were, but a lot more humble and a lot more meek. And it's then that he said, I will tell you how I expected you to carry out this ministry. And I will tell you how I meant for you to fulfill purpose and destiny in me. But right now, you are like, you know, you had to go through like, Paul, that thing wouldn't let you go. I sought the Lord 3 times. He said, I'm not moving that. My grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to learn that as brilliant as you are, and you are brilliant, as I mean, you are decisive as the day is long. And, honey, without Jesus Christ, you got the little edge of ruthlessness. All of that is great. But without God, you can do nothing. And so you're going to get your prayer life differently. God said to tell you, I'm going to give you new marching orders. Get ready. Get that journal out. You know that journal that you just, I ain't writing nothing else. I don't know. If this didn't work, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not, I don't, you know. You know how it is when he gets there. We're going to throw everything away. Lock it all. We barely want to keep the Bible out, okay? But we don't want to hurt his feelings, so we'll just keep that out on the table, even if it doesn't speak to us the same way as it did. But you are going to grow into a mighty woman. God said, in your life, I'm going to make you a mighty oak tree. But first, I have to make sure you're planted by the rivers of water and that your nourishment is of me, says the Lord. That is his word to you.
Bless God. Thank you, Dr. Paula Price.
Did that constitute guidance and wisdom? I just want to know.
Yes, ma'am, it did.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. First thing I want to tell you is that Blog Talk is recorded automatically. You can go back to the show after your call. Ashley is going to make her PSA announcement, you know, to tell you. You can go back and listen to it again and again, and you can download it.
Okay.
So you are not at a loss, because you're going to need to pray over this, because as God visits you and begins to commune with you and talk to you, and by the way, you're going to hear him in a different way, because you're not going to hear him as Papa Daddy the way you like. He's going to pull up a work chair and get in your face. He's I'm going to get in your face, so be ready. Because that's how powerfully made you are, and that is how, what I want to say, extensive and critical your call is. Your destiny is potent, and God said, I can't have you messing up. So it's going to get real good for you, but you and God are going to meet each other in a whole new arrangement, and it's going to be a wonderful one, because he thinks very highly of you. That's what he said to tell you. He said, I think very highly of her. She's very important to me, which is why he let that happen to you. He let that thing play out, because, you know, it was one of those, you know how you get those things? God, you're not going to let this go to distance, are you? Oh, yeah, it's going to. You know how we do it.
Yes.
And you get the friends to tell you, oh, no, thus say God, you got all of Ahab prophets. Oh, no, the Lord's going to do this. He's going to let this go the whole distance, because he wants you to know he is not to be played with, and your call and your destiny are too pivotal to what he wants to accomplish in the earth for you to misconstrue his motives and his intent and his methods. That's the only reason. No other reason. Many times when you have a great call, your trials and tribulations are more for your training and your warning than they are for your correction. So we know, you know, God's the only father I know. He's going to whoop our behind before we do something wrong. God, I didn't even do anything wrong. I was trying to do right. How'd that happen? He said, so when you get an opportunity to do wrong, you'll remember this and do right. So God, so I bless you, my beloved sister and daughter in the Lord. I bless you because you have a great, great, great life ahead of you. I can honestly say it is a rich, full life. It's just that to whom much is given, much is required. And that's just the way it is. Whether we like it or understand it or not, hey, we are the potter, he's the clay. So I'm going to pray, unless you have another question or comment, I'm going to pray and release you to the Holy Ghost.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Are we all done?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I know you. I'm going to hang up and go. I know. I understand. Yeah. I have an effect on people like that. So, Father, thank you in Jesus' omnipotent name. Lord God, we love you. You are so sweet. Such a faithful creator. Such a great father. Such a magnificent redeemer. We love you, Jesus. We love your ways. We love your handiwork. God, I thank you for Jorah. I thank you for who she is, how she lives, the things that you want to get done in her life. I thank you, God, for bringing her back online, healing her spirit, soul, and body. I thank you for curing her of this head stress and tension and giving her back her agility in you, even her spiritual as well as mental agility in you. God, I thank you that you're now going to tell her where to put her hands to and let her know how you want her to carry it out. Lord, I bless you for this woman's life. I bless you for her past, her present, and her future. God, get your glory out of this woman. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are very, very welcome. Don't forget, you can download it so you can listen to it 1,500 times.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Bless you.
Prophet!
Wow. I was getting a little choked up myself.
Is that why you were on mute?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that too. But isn't he a good dad? He's such a good dad.
Yes. Yes.
You know, he is. He's just a good dad. I mean, God is a sugar. But, you know, the problem that the church has with the Lord, Ashley, is that they forget that God is more than a father. That before he was a father, he's God. Before he decided to have a family, he had a kingdom. He built a kingdom. and he's got duties and obligations and responsibilities that go beyond our home life. You know, I've said to you, I always say allegorically, we need to, you know, God is daddy at home, but sometimes we who are at home, who are very at home with dad, need to go to his office to see him in action in his office. And to see him in action in his job and in his duties and responsibilities. Because a lot of what God does that doesn't make sense to us in the home front will make perfect sense to us when we go to his workplace. And sometimes that's what we need. We need to meet God at work instead of just waiting for him to do work at home. Because, when you know, you think about your children, you know, that's just mom, that's just dad, that's just aunt, uncle, whatever. But then they go to your job and see you in an entire different capacity or context, and it alters their perception of you, but also makes them understand why you are or what contributed to what you do with them at home. And so I would say to all of my saints who are listening to me today, let's go to work with dad tomorrow. Tomorrow when you wake up, let's just go to work with God the Father. Let's just go to his workplace. Let's go to his job. Let's sit at his desk. Let's sit in his office and look at him at his desk. And let's see all of the things that he does just to honor his responsibilities and to carry out his duties. And a great deal of what you've lived and the frustrations that you have with the Lord will subside when you recognize he's not just Papa, Daddy at home. And so there are saints who just need to know him as Papa Daddy at home because all they know is the business side of God. But there are far more saints, based on popular teaching, who only know him as Papa Daddy at home. And you want everything that you need from God to come through the home fires and the home front while he's sitting in his easy chair. That's when you want to do it. And you cannot see this man, this creator, owns heaven and earth, and he has duties to the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous, the saved and the lost. That's a big picture, and that's why much of what we are dealing with in God gets confused. So anyway, Ashley, that was my other plug. Who else do I have on the phone?
He strikes again. All right, we have on the line, my girl Pamela is calling from Georgia. It's been a while since you've heard from her, Dr. Price. I hear from her, but you have not heard from her. Pamela is returning. She is calling for prayer for her health. I will let her explain what's going on with her. Pamela, welcome back. It's been a while to the Paula Price Show.
Yes, it's been a while, and I was able to not only dial in today during my lunch hour, but also get an opportunity to speak to the one and only Dr. Price. So I want to say Happy New Year to you. I'm not going to drink the cup of coffee, but we can have our virtual cup of tea. But I'm calling because I've had an exciting past 6 months or so spending with Prophet Ashley, going through different things of your program, the life advisement. I've completed, I guess it's the PAQ, is that the acronym? But suffice it to say, I'm looking forward to this year and in the months to come. I've started a new position at a nonprofit agency. It was one where you said prior to me getting the job and before I even applied for it that it'll be a place that a position that's going to open up and I'm going to say no. I'm going to reject it because it seems too much like the norm. And initially when I started, I was like, okay, this is great. This is going to be 2 weeks. I didn't really see it as I'll be here for 6 months now. But suffice it to say, I like it. It's been a great place to grow. I'm doing what I've done before, but it's with the wisdom and experience that I bring to it. And I've been also given a responsibility. So I want God at work now. I'm not looking for him tomorrow, but I heard you, but I'm looking for him to work now. Probably that message worked for me because I'm sitting at work talking to you, whereas the last time I was in a comfortable place, I was at home. Right now, I've got a recent diagnosis, and actually the physician called me yesterday and wanted to know what decision I wanted to make. So they've given me an option that requires some things that will take place on my body that, whereas it sounds good to do, for me it's like, do I do it? Do I get a second opinion? And also, do I need to do this like tomorrow? There's no urgency to it, but
the doctor, it sounds like, you know, oh, you got the insurance, you can afford it, get it done. But me, I got a lot of different irons, as I would say, in the fire, apart from just, you know, being in a new job, got things going on here. I plan to get married in June. And there just seems to be just a lot of activity around me, so I'm keeping the peace that God has given me in the midst of all of this. And this diagnosis, of course, came to me as a surprise, but one where I'm ready to stand on his word and move forward and see how I'm going to live, you know, victoriously being healed and looking at the healing options that he has available for me and not just looking at it as a medical condition only.
Okay, so now, is this, you said it's not urgent, so am I understanding this is not a terminal thing?
It's not a terminal thing, but however, they said that, you know, if you do the treatment now, it could be something that we will monitor, you know, it increases your chances that you may get something that's terminal.
Okay. So
it's not hereditary.
It's not hereditary. All right, now listen to this. I want to say this to you. Two things I want to say. The first thing is, when a doctor tells me it's not urgent, then I don't understand why you're telling me I need to rush. See, I get stuck on those two things. So that's my first thought. Mm-hmm. The second thing I would say to you is that always get a second opinion. Always. You know, and if it's something that you feel is going to be very disruptive of your life, get a third.
Mm-hmm.
Because different doctors have different reasons for saying things or prioritizing things the way they do. And
mm-hmm.
so you want to get that consensus. You know, your doctor could be 100% correct, and the treatments could be what he says, but by the same token, Bill should always get a second opinion. And to me, I'm going to be honest with you, when he would say to me, or when your doctor says to you, well, you have the insurance, so you might as well get it done. Come on now, we're not talking about going on a cruise.
Exactly.
Okay, so, oh, yeah, well, you got the credit to go on a cruise. That's one thing. But you got the insurance. Let's get some medical treatment. That's a whole other thing. So I would get a second opinion. And I wouldn't, if you have the time to explore it properly, don't rush. There are very few things that mean you have to do it right away. If you carry it this long and you've been on your feet and life is working, you can take the time to get yourself good medical advice. So that would be my second thing. My third thing is, before you told me what it was, when I actually called your name, God said to me, health regimen. Now, I didn't know what that meant. So whatever medical treatment you get, you still should work hard, if at all possible, in your region to get an MD who does or who also appreciates and works with, if he doesn't do it himself or she doesn't do it herself, works with a natural doctor.
Okay.
Because for you, all I could see, I'm looking in your soul, and all I could see are these green stems. Like, you need, whatever it is, it has to do with this green foliage. So you need to go to both doctors. I never choose one or the other. My doctor happens to do both. I like that. So that I can catch both sides of his brain. I feel like that way I get both sides. But you should make sure, if you don't do anything else, that you get a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I want a doctor that's going to give me a prescription that's not tied to my insurance only. I realize he needs to know, or she needs to know she's going to get paid,
mm-hmm.
but that's one thing. But I don't need you to say, okay, well, like my insurance is a credit line. I don't know. I'm stuck on that. So I would do that. Those would be my suggestions to you. But make sure you at least go and see a good holistic doctor at the same time, and try to get one that they work in tandem with each other. Because see, I never think healing is a either or thing. I don't think it's pharmaceutical only, nor do I think it's organic only. I think the body it lives in a world that's been attacked by both sides. You know, so
let's
both sides to do it. But by all means, do not do any treatment until you get that second opinion.
Okay. That's basically where I am.
Yeah, but I figured as much. You're a very wise woman. And I'll tell you something, don't panic, because God said it's all going to work out. It will work out for you, and it's not as detrimental as it's being presented. At least that's what the Spirit of God is saying. It's not as detrimental as it's being presented. It is something that God wants you to be aware of, and he's giving you a heads up early in your life. But with the right regimens, you'll be fine.
Okay.
So we're going to get you a second opinion, and then you're going to find a doctor that is not going to treat your insurance like a credit line.
Exactly.
And you know, I got a problem with that. You know, okay.
I do
like,
too.
Okay.
I'm not helping you meet your quota for the month.
See, because I had a major operation like that, and if I had not been what I know now, my life would have turned out differently in that regard. But and then you do want to go and get yourself a good holistic doctor so that you can make sure that you can support whatever happens with what's treated medically. So I would suggest that you do that. And that's a hot button for me because I think that we need all members doing their share. Let everybody do their part in this thing. The body is a complex thing, so let's do that. So is there anything else that I need to pray for? Let me congratulate you on your new job, though.
Oh, well, thank you. So, you know, it's like I said, it started one where I was like, oh, this is great. And I was like, I don't see myself here. But then once I worked directly with the president, so I'm in the same position as Ashley. But it's one where he's a visionary, he's a planner, and I said, Lord, you have me here to work specifically for him, and I'm getting training that I wouldn't get anywhere else. So I definitely understand that at times it gets like one where I'm ready to pack it up, move on. But, you know, I remember, okay, let me work this out and let God work what he's doing in me so I can learn that I'm all that I'm supposed to and be that change agent in this environment. And I get a lot of opposition on one hand. There's a lot of spoken things. People speak a lot in the negative, even though this agency is growing leaps and bounds. And it reminds me of when God says, write the vision, make it plain, and those who see it will run with it. And that's why it's been so successful. They take the time to make a plan. They stick to the plan. They don't delve into anything else. If the plan says this, let's stay focused. And with that, they've been a quiet, you know, warrior that's grown in the midst of an economy that says otherwise. You know, people are astounded when I tell them about the money and that we're looking to employ 1,000 people in the next 5 years, that we're going to grow the business by this. And they look at me like, really? How are you going to do that? And a lot of it is, I know it has its roots in a minister who found this organization. And a lot of what he stood for, I believe, is the harvest that they're reaping in this particular environment. So if you can just pray for that, and also my for me and my fiancé, that will cover it.
Will do. Well, I tell you what, I'm excited about what you're doing. I want to say to you that no matter where you are, we are on planet Earth, and planet Earth is not necessarily the bedrock of positivity. That's
mm-hmm.
it. We're here to learn how to turn, you know, difficulty into positivity. So you have to recognize that no matter where you go, it's not going to be an ideal situation. I would also say to you, you've had a lot of years being your own boss, working under your own steam. So a lot of the frustrations you may be feeling right now or the irritants could be tied to just having to acclimate to an active work environment
mm-hmm.
and having to work a vision that you did not birth and you're not in total control of. So just whenever that comes up, just brush it away. Oh, yeah, okay, so this flesh is rebelling against having to get into this kind of discipline again.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all it is. You are in the right place at the right time for the right reason with the right leader. This is going to be good for you. And it's not only going to be good for you professionally, but down the line, it's going to be great for you ministerially.
Okay.
That's why. So be at peace. And listen, don't be quick to leave, because it may seem like something coming up is going to be better and more convenient. It is not going to be. So hunker down, sink down some roots, because God's going to give you stake in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be impulsive about it, okay?
Okay.
And I just felt like I needed to say that. I saw it because God said it. So let me pray. Father, thank you for Pamela. First of all, God, I thank you for her life. I thank you for our journey, having met and visited. We thank you for having her in our DPM Global Resources family. We love her dearly. So, God, I thank you for that. Secondly, God, I speak healing to her body. God, and whether you heal her directly or indirectly, I command healing to come over her flesh. And God, give her peace of mind concerning it. I command this diagnosis to be reversed in Jesus' name, so that she has nothing but victory and she can walk forward in what you gave her to do. But I ask that you would bless her relationship, bless her marriage, cause it to come according to your plans. Keep it in your will, in your purposes, and in your grace, God. Let it be pleasing in your sight on all sides. Cause them to grow in each other. Cause them to stay with you and to heed you. And, Lord, I thank you for doing it all in Jesus' omnipotent name. Now, the last thing I'm going to ask you is that you find the physician that you have chosen for her in this time of her life. Cause divine connection, Honda Rokushia Tabate, divine connection to be made quickly, and give her that inward witness that you know how to give her to let her know, this is it. I'm in this. This is my choice. God, I bless you for doing it all in the name of your holy son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, you have an exceptional year, and thanks so much for the prayers and the advice and just your love of God that you show towards me and the rest of the callers.
Amen. But you keep me posted now. You don't just call up and get it. I don't know the end of this book.
I know. Well, I'm keep you posted through Ashley. So,
okay.
So when I can check in during the lunch hour, I certainly will.
Oh, whichever way, but I just want to make sure because this is going to turn out better than you think.
I believe so. I certainly do. And thank you so much for the encouragement.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.
Okay, Prophet, do I have time enough for one more caller? Don't give me something complicated.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. This is...
I know. We always say that. And then somebody said, oh, I just need prayer. Next thing you know, 15 minutes later, hallelujah.
I know, right? Well, this is Sharika from Oklahoma. She is calling because she needs to know if she's on the right path. So, Sharika, get to the point, my friend, and you will hear from God. Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Okay. Hello. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's so awesome to have a chance to talk with you. Just recently, over the last few months or 4 months, you know, I found out that I had a prophetic gift, and I'm just seeing that God is shifting some things in the church, you know, that I go to. And a lot of times, you know, I intercede and I encourage other people, but, you know, sometimes some encouragement myself, you know, and in prayer and a little direction.
Now, is your church prophetic? Is that what you discovered?
Not really. It's a Baptist church, but my pastor actually is pretty sensitive to the spirit. I think he is maybe a little bit.
Okay.
But it's not anything that, you know, is really discussed or, you know, but I'm seeing that God is opening him up to this and gifts and talking about it and stuff like that. So,
well, I definitely want to tell you, pray for your pastor, pray for your church, you know. And like I said to the other lady, we don't have to apologize because God sends us to a mainline denominational church. We can just serve the Lord. You know, let's just rejoice in God. We're just glad we got a church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, we thought about that because when we were in the UK, in Europe, I mean, come on, they would love to have all of the options we have for churches. But but having said that, I do want to encourage you to take our assessment if you haven't done so, because it's going to help you a great deal. When you hang up the phone, drpaulaprice.com. In the meantime, I'm going to pray for you, but God said be patient. Just because you've discovered something, remember, just because somebody's a child prodigy doesn't make them ready for the stage.
Yeah.
So God says you have a long way to go. Don't allow yourself to be pushed. Take your time. Now, if you take the assessment and once you talk to our advisors, you decide, you know what, I like my church, but I do want to nurture this gift. We are the perfect solution for that. That's one of the things that we do best. That is, we augment where you are. You stay with your pastor, stay in your Baptist church just to know how to pray and preach. But because you are a prophet, that mantle is going to awaken and need to be treated. We are that place. So you can stay with your church family and still get developed as a prophet and find
okay.
out how to navigate the two worlds at the same time.
Yeah.
Make sure you check in with us. And when you go to my site, just say, I'm going to take an assessment. And just click that button and take your assessment. Then you'll get an opportunity to talk to one of our advisors, our seasoned prophets, and get on a program. You heard the woman before you. Get on a program. And so you can do this at your own pace, your own time, and your church never has to get involved with it, and you can still be a good member and a good benefit to your local assembly.
Okay.
That's my recommendation for you, because I'll tell you why you want to do that. Because as a prophet, an awakening prophet, you're going to need a sounding board. You're going to need some questions answered. You're going to need a lot. Trust me. And when that thing starts waking up and talking and lying and begging and demanding, it's going to be like a baby. It's going to need a lot of attention. And you need to have a safe place to get nurtured and to be protected and to be guided in your development of this thing without having to feel like you must make a decision between my pastor and my destiny. Right now, that's not a decision you'll have to make. As a matter of fact, you're looking at maybe 5 or 7 years before God puts you in that predicament. Isn't that good to know?
Yeah.
That's good to know. Now, you will meet other perfect people, but I'm going to tell you right now, be very circumspect about where you attach yourself during these developmental years, because the enemy is good at derailing young prophets, baby prophets, and newcomers to this thing. He's very good at putting you with the folks that's going to take you off track or train you up all crazy, only for you to have to go through trials and tribulations just to get back on track.
Okay.
So that is my prayer for you. And again, I want to tell you, beware. Just because everybody has a title of prophet doesn't mean that they have the capacity or they have the actual mantle or office of the prophet on them. Some people are just enthusiastic prophesiers who don't know the difference.
Okay.
So I'm going to pray because we're going to have a few minutes, and I don't want you to miss your prayer.
Okay. Thank you.
Father, you're more than welcome. Father, thank you for Sharika. Thank you for her life. Thank you, God, for her love for you. And, Lord, I thank you for the new prophet that's awakening. I thank you for the newcomer to our ranks that you're developing and that you are nurturing and bringing along. Lord, keep your hands on her. Keep her in your training, in your sight. Keep her in your protection and your care. God, guard her and guide her by your spirit. Let nothing pervert or distort what you're doing in this woman and her new calling or her a revealed calling in your service. God, we cover her with the blood of the Lamb. Holy Spirit, we commend her to your direct tutelage, that you are in charge of where she goes, who she meets, who touches her, and how she's developed for you, because you alone know what her purpose and her destiny are in this life. Lord, we bless this woman. We bless her home. We bless her family. We bless her household on all fronts. And, Lord, we bless her prayer life and intercession. Now, God, give her peace and give her patience and give her prudence in her growth and development and nurture of this calling. And, God, do it all for your glory and do it all that her destiny and purpose are fulfilled and nothing is shipwrecked or annulled. In Jesus' omnipotent name, we bless you for it, Father God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless.
Okay, God bless you.
Ashley.
That's the show.
That's the show. It seems like we've come up with a time that we can say it's a wrap. So thank you all for joining us. Remember, you can come back and listen. You can download. Those of you that we recommended assessment, if you haven't taken one, take an assessment. Go and see what we have going on. But listen, folks, I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you thought about the show. It encourages me. You know, I'm on here to encourage you, but you all know you can encourage me. Facebook me, tweet me, let me know, email me, whatever it is that we got. I don't know all we have going on, but do that. I like our relationship. I want you to continue to call and to grow and to listen, but I want to hear from you. I want to hear your good news. I want to hear your bad news. I want to hear your great news, your victories, your flops, your get-ups, and go forwards, whatever it is. Know that I love you. God bless you. Talk to you next Thursday. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of The Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
Support The Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.